6000, standing here in the corner of 128th Street and Riverside Drive, in the shadow of the huge steeple of Riverside Church. This was Riverside Church where in 1967, Martin Luther King Jr. gave his speech in which he came out and denounced the Vietnam War. In 50 minutes, 45 minutes, we're waiting for the arrival of Fidel Castro, the president of Cuba. So far, it seems to be more cops and fire brigade than anyone else. You got about one giant paddy wagon from the emergency service. Police, you've got about four or five emergency service vans near the riot police. Just passing by is the state park police. You've got about several fire engines with skyscraper ladders. I don't know whether they're expecting the terrorist attack or they're just want to get overtime. Been trying to figure out where and if where is Castro going to arrive. No one knows if he's going to arrive in the front of the main entrance of Riverside Church, or is he going to go to the rear? The police are being mum, claiming they don't know anything. No one else in the press seems to know anything, so at this point the scene is non-existent. Get back to you in a second.
Do you think that people may be reading too much into it? I do not think that people are reading too much into it. I believe that the president has to express in his actions something of the will of the people. And I think the people in America have some sense that there are aspects of the Cuban relationship with America that is a reflection of the Cold War, and that as we enter into an age of globalization, we probably have to update some of the ways we deal with past grievances and try to move beyond it.
Reverend Forbes, we're all here from Miami, and as you know, a lot of people in Miami are Cuban-American, and they wonder why an august church like yours would host a person they don't think should be given such such treatment.
Well, the Riverside Church was born in struggle. The founder of our church, Harry, was at the center of a major controversy in Ottery, Oklahoma. We have been a place where people have found an opportunity to speak to the American people. Often they are popular, many times they are not. And we have found that sometimes one who was an unpopular person at the time they spoke here, history finally revealed that there was some substance there. Therefore, Nelson Mandela, at first, might not have been appreciated, but he finally came through. We've had Oliver Tambor with the ANC, bad times. They came through. When King gave his message at Riverside about the Vietnamese War, bad, bad. But later on, wisdom was seen to be present there. So Riverside wishes to be a venue that says, come, let us listen, let us search our hearts, let us determine whether what is said requires action that is different from what it was before. So I'm hoping that the speech here will, I'm just praying that something said here opens up the prospect that there's a new way that people in Miami and Cuban Americans here might find a way to move beyond the methods we used in the Cold War to address our grievances and to look forward to some new approaches.
What's your feeling about Fidel Castro?
My feeling about Fidel Castro is that, like a lot of other leaders, that if you're in touch with the people who struggle, something of a genuine human quality emerges. He may have a different ideology than I do. I'm a Christian. He comes out of a socialist or communist regime. But something of value has to go in a leader who sustains the hopes of a people as long as he has. And so I'm eager tonight to hear what that is and to see whether it holds prospects for us moving toward non-normalized relationships with Cuba.
You have to appeal to Miami tonight? Mm-hmm.
I will indeed offer an appeal to all Cubans, whether they're in Havana, Miami, or New York, New Jersey. Let's see if, because the Cold War gave us certain ways of dealing with problems, And now we are moving into an age of globalization where nation states and boundaries are going to be functioning quite differently. Is it possible that the grace of God is offering us a way to pursue our grievances in ways that are more contemporary rather than to continue to hold the same antipathies? And so what I would really appeal to the people in Miami and New York and New Jersey is, do you need to hold our president or candidate for president to sort of going along with the old method? Can there be fresh ways to look at how we might move beyond the wounds and the wars of the past? That's what I would like to ask for.
Reverend, as you can see, there's a lot of interest in this in Miami, yet we're not being allowed inside your church. Would you allow us inside your church?
We are serving as a venue, and the committee has asked that Riverside serve as the place they use. We think that there's enough prospect that something meaningful can take place that we have given them the space. They then have the responsibility of determining the protocol and also the invitation list. We are not the inviting institution this time. It's the New York committee for the Cuban delegation.
Any idea why they would exclude the media from Miami where there's so much interest in this?
My assumption is that in a struggle, people make premature choices about who can help their cause and who can hinder it. My sense is that's part of what we need to work through, that old enemies or even people who are adversarial to your perspective need not be closed out.
That's we are closed out.
And I think that the committee will certainly hear that what this is about. If Riverside has anything to do with it, is learning to open up to people that you've already dismissed, because they may be bearers of an insight that opens up new possibilities.
Thank you very much.
So that was the Reverend James Forbes, Jr., pastor of Riverside Church. He was just speaking to the Miami Press Corps, and of course, the Miami Press Corps being of the mainstream press, want to record Fidel Castro in order to, so they can manipulate his words and use it for the propaganda, so to make advertising revenues for the Miami relatives back in Miami happy. But it's very clear why they're not invited. So Reverend James Forbes Jr. just expressing what he hopes tonight would be, what he expects will be from the Castro talk, and he spoke about peace and a new way of dealing with things in a less hostile way. It's not the Cold War anymore, it's globalization, and hopefully this will be the start of new things, positive things in Cuban-American relations. So, Reverend James Forbes, Jr. says. It's 8 o'clock. I'm standing here now in the corner of West 120th Street and Broadway here at the Q, leading into the entrance. I reckon about 3,000 people here. people are quite spirited. Most of the people here can't get in. And it's not just the people who can't get in, but half of the media corps is also left out. You just heard people saying Giuliani, Fidel C, Giuliani, no. It's quite a spirited crowd. A lot of people wish they had tickets. I'm going to try to investigate some more and see what's going on.
Two convictions at 15 years. Yeah, he got convicted twice. Order. Only at 15 years. The two other officers got 5 years of obstruction of justice.
Hello, here on 120th Street and West Broadway. This is the line entrance for people going into Riverside Church to see Fidel Castro speak. And please tell me, why are you interested in seeing Mr. Castro speak?
I've never seen him speak.
Okay, you haven't seen him speak. Okay. Why are you interested in hearing him speak?
He has a right to an opinion, and I think that he has some important things to say.
And what are the important things that you think Mr. Castro has to say?
I think it's in reference to the way his government has been messed around with economically by the United States on many different levels.
Okay. And do you see, how do you feel about Mr. Okay, I'll talk to you.
You're gone.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Why are you interested in seeing Mr. Castro speak?
I don't see. What do you think?
I want to know. I want to get the
I
voice of the people. Why? For you. Why is Castro important for you? What does he represent for you? You, in your words.
You know, I am exhausted. I don't even want to interview.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you. Why are you here and waiting this long queue that goes all around the block? It's like a blockbuster. Why is Mr. Castro so important for you?
Well, you hear so much about him in terms of negativity in the way he's portrayed in the media, and then, you know, as an individual who's really not informed in terms of what he's about, I think it'd be good to come and see him and hear what he has to say, and then, you know, get a fix on where his heart really is and whether what we get is majoritively propaganda or whether it's true or what the real deal is. So somebody offered me a ticket. I said, sure. So I came out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, it's quite a scene. Now I'm down on... What street is this? This is 122nd Street. Basically, the line is pretty much like two city blocks down Broadway, and it goes around the corner of West 125th Street onto Riverside Drive. This is really a massive showing of people. This is like bigger than a Hollywood blockbuster. It seems that indeed tonight, Fidel Castro is the premier attraction of New York City tonight, and if not the world.
Once this line gets up there, and you walk, you get around the corner, you probably hear what you hear. They have to speak about it. And I heard it was going to be done like that.
And then the cop said, you know, he told me like this.
How do people get tickets?
I guess.
That's what happened. And even yesterday, a brother was trying to get him. He said, "Don't touch me." He's got to be outside.
If you have something to say, that's why we have language.
But there were last-minute tickets to be on yesterday, so maybe somebody
has. But you can't knock me.
I just got in.
Good thing I didn't get here at 4 o'clock with the media.
Yeah. No, you may know. I'm saying probably were last minute, or people who weren't going to make it or couldn't make it. They probably came up just to wait to go.
Well, if you came here and there were people, they'd probably give an answer.
Don't grab me. I don't give a fuck, yo. I'll fuck with
Why is Castro so important for you?
Porque Castro es tan importante para usted.
Porque representa la dignidad.
He represents the dignity
of
all workers,
campesinos,
of all bushmen,
America.
And poor people of America.
And what? And have you ever heard him speak before?
Sí, lo he oído hablar antes, anteriormente. Yes.
Yes. He escuchado y he asimilado su mensaje siempre. Es el único líder.
Yes, he has assimilated for his messages and.
En defensa de los pobres del tercer mundo.
He's the only leader that speaks on behalf of all the poor people of the world.
Why do you think that the anti-Castro faction has such a hatred for him?
¿Por qué los anticastristas tienen tanto odio contra él?
Porque ellos representan
capitalism.
Son parte del pasado. Y Castro le cerró la puerta.
They belong to the past, and Castro closed their doors.
Y le abrió la puerta al verdadero pueblo.
And they opened the door. And they opened the door to the real people. And to the majority of the poor people.
Have you been to Cuba?
Ya ha ido a Cuba.
No, he ido. Me gustaría ir.
He would like to go. He hasn't been there yet.
And what do you think is the future of Cuba?
¿Cuál te crees que es el futuro de Cuba?
El futuro de Cuba es prometedor para la dignidad.
It's a promising one. It is a promising one, a shining one for the dignity of the people.
Porque hay cosas que no se compran con el dinero.
There are many things that you can buy with money.
Yes.
Gotcha. Thank you. Gracias. ¿Cómo se llama?
Miguel Rodriguez.
Soy Casaide.
Okay.
What is that coming up to?
Please say your name.
Pedro Rivera.
Pedro Rivera?
Yeah.
Why is Castro important for you?
Well, actually, I'm not a Castro worshiper, but I support the causes of the masses and of the poor people. And honestly, he is a representative of the people that never kneeled down to capitalism. And I am here just, it is my flag representing the R, and I'm just saying present.
And how influential or important is Cuba for the people, the community of the Dominican Republic?
Well, actually, his philosophy is more important because it entitles a revolution. It points out mistakes of that the capitalism has made, and accuses capitalism of exploiting, for example, DR and all those third world nations, as we call it. You know.
Would you say that the Cuba model is a model that you would like to see in the Dominican Republic?
Well, yes and no. We do understand that not all systems are perfect, but in a general, of course, socialism is the only way out for the world nation. Yes.
And what do you think is the future of Cuba?
Cuba? Well, that is a good question. It is actually, might be brilliant, because the United States is now opening a relationship, and if they remove the blockade of Cuba, I mean, it's going to be a beautiful thing, honestly. So that is what has been stopping Cuba and making Cuba poorer and more poor and more poor. You know, if they remove that blockade away, tourism is going to be something great, and they're going to get some revenues, you know, from tourists.
Now, historically, since Castro has come to power over the 40 years, and he's come to New York, and he's always been quite popular, especially with various people of color, Black Americans, and Latinos such as Puerto Ricans and Dominicans. What is it that you think that that the people of color, who actually are a majority in New York, what is it that you think they see in Cuba, in Castro? What is it that you see that makes people of color in New York so interested and so inspired by this man?
Well, the man is, he has brought a philosophy of redeeming the mind of people.
Yes.
And as you know, we've been kept under ignorance for too long now. And when we bring knowledge out, it is attractive. It sounds attractive. And he plainly says things that needs to be addressed in this nation here, first of all. And when we hear those things from somebody that's coming from outside, it's attractive. When we spend here years and all of our leaders sold out, most of them, and that is one of the things that's been happening with us. Nobody stands up for the truth. Nobody's willing to die for the truth. And when somebody comes and say things like that in their home, in their houses, it's amazing. And we tend to follow those things, those philosophies that redeem our minds, you know. And of course, the man is just who he is. As I said before, I don't worship him, nothing like that, but I do acknowledge his philosophy and what he has done for Cuba, whether we find it good or bad, you know. Basically, that's it.
Thank you very much.
What's the number 517?
What happened?
Nothing.
And it's like that. It is 9:30 in the evening back here on the corner of Broadway and West 120th Street. Looks like all the people who have tickets are finally let in. Now part of a procession, seems like a couple of thousand people are now streaming down West 120th Street to outside of Riverside Church, where hopefully there will be speakers where we can hear what the Cuban President Fidel Castro has to say. Still is the biggest show, the hottest ticket in New York tonight. People think that all the action is downtown. No, no, it's not. All the action is uptown. And people are very spirited. People are having many different types of political discussions about what's happening in the world, what's happening in New York. But people generally tend to be in good spirit. No anti-Fidel demonstrations. They're still, like, haven't crawled out from their rock ship. And we'll see what's going to happen on. Out for now. Fidel Castro has just been announced as the speaker inside of Riverside Church. I'm standing outside here, outside the rear entrance to Riverside Church, and we're listening to the broadcast on WBAI radio here in New York, and this is the response of
Lucas Walker, the executive director of the Interreligious Foundation for Community Organizing.
Any of them could not speak into this hall.
Finish and see this.
So that's how it went tonight at Riverside Church. And outside, Castro gave a speech for 4 hours where he basically laid out a lot of figures about how Cuba has struggled over the past 10 years and how it's managed to overcome the economic blockade and how it's Cuba struggling to get back to its equilibrium. And he laid out his plans for how he wants to set up medical schools and institutions in Africa so that the Africans can become sufficient in their own medicine without having to rely on Cuba or any other country. But so that's how it is here from Harlem, New York, and now the 9th of September. This has been Kasai Deer bringing you this report.